WGCH News Center time is 7:52. Third Thursday of the month means State Senator Alexandra Kasser of Greenwich joins me. Senator, good morning. Welcome. How are you today?
Good morning, Tony. I'm well. How are you?
First of all, congratulations on your nomination for a second term. Your thoughts?
Thank you. Well, my thoughts are really focused on what's happening in Connecticut and in the country and in the world. So, obviously, coronavirus still is our biggest challenge. Yesterday, the state began to reopen very slowly and cautiously. I'm going to be watching carefully, making sure that everybody has what they need in terms of information and protective equipment so that everyone can stay safe.
Has the what are your thoughts about the no legislative session to speak of today? A lot of things have been done by executive order by the governor. Is that the way the state should be run? Are you comfortable with that?
Well, I do think it's appropriate in a true emergency, which this is, for the executive branch to take over, because there are too many decisions that need to be made quickly, and I think the governor exercised appropriate authority in doing that. So, but I would say I am also very disappointed that the legislative leaders did not make accommodations for us to go back into session. Other state legislatures have figured out how to work remotely. They're having hearings remotely, and they're continuing their work. And I'm disappointed that our leaders of the four caucuses haven't figured out how to do that yet. So I keep asking them and telling them it's unacceptable. We have been working basically as hard, if not harder, as we were when we were doing legislation, but that doesn't in any way absolve us of being a co-equal branch and passing critical bills, which become even more critical in a pandemic.
It's interesting because I've spoken to the other local lawmakers about, I guess it's just been a lot of work on constituent service, has it not, for yourself and your other colleagues?
Absolutely. I mean, we have been working round the clock from home on constituent services. Also, I have been focused, as I usually am, on shaping policy. So I've been I was actually the first legislator to ask the governor officially to issue a lockdown, a shutdown order. And since that moment, I've been giving the administration all kinds of suggestions based on best practices from other states and other countries. I designed the safe store rules that they eventually adopted. I have been, very, very on top of the public health metrics that they set. Expertise, my graduate work is in environmental health, law, and policy. So this is something that I've been interested in and learning about for many, many years. And that's still what I am focused on, is the public health metrics. How exactly are we measuring? What information do we have? What's being disclosed? For a while, there was a big disparity between the number of cases that the Greenwich Department of Public Health had and the State Department of Public Health had, and that's not acceptable. All of this, so I was on the administration and the Department of Public Health to fix that problem. It's not okay to have inaccurate data because all of these policies have to be data driven. So we have to trust and know that the data is accurate, that the number of cases and hospitalizations and tests being reported are entirely accurate.
And on that note, does the state need more testing and contact tracing also?
Absolutely. So that's another thing that I did in the past few weeks. When the administration first published their criteria for reopening, it was 7 criteria, but they were so vague that said things like, we need increased testing, we need sufficient contact tracing. That, I'm also a lawyer. Those words are so vague that they're meaningless. So I immediately contacted the administration and said, we need actual definitions, we need numbers, we need metrics, we need to quantify this so that we know when we've reached the target so that we can reopen, and also if targets are missed, what will the consequence be? Will things be pulled back? And they were very reluctant, actually, to to give hard numbers because they had a big hill to climb. You know, at that point, they were only doing about 2,000 to 3,000 tests a day, and based on what the World Health Organization and Harvard and all sorts of, you know, reputable sources said, we needed something like 17,000 tests a day. So that was a big gap, and that was only about 2 weeks before May 20th. So they were saying that they were going to be ready to open, but the numbers did not indicate that. So I was on them, and I had a series of questions about every single target, and I submitted that to them, and some of my colleagues signed the letter, and they didn't answer it. So eventually, the letter was not by me, but by somebody else. The letter was given to the press, because it is really important that, regardless of the situation, our government, even if it's operating just the executive branch, has to be accountable, and they do have to answer important questions. Now, fortunately, they were able to meet the targets that they set for themselves before May 20th, and I hope they will continue to improve those metrics. But this is our role as a co-equal branch, is to ensure that the best decisions are made and that there's full transparency in our government.
All right. On a final note, kind of a non-COVID-related one, was the Dalios and the education partnership with the state, that they dissolved that this week. Your thoughts about that?
Oh, I think it's so unfortunate. I think it's a... Anytime private citizens want to help the state and help the public and donate their own resources to do so, I think they should be applauded. There was always the issue of, again, of transparency. And if public dollars are spent, there has to be transparency on the decisions that are made. So there was a conflict right from the beginning in the design of the partnership, but certainly the motivation and the public good that it would have done, I'm very supportive of. I just wish it had been designed a little bit differently.
All right, Senator Castor, thanks very much for your time this morning. Be well. We'll talk next month. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Tony. Take care.
That's State Senator Alexandra Castor of Greenwich joins us third Thursday of the month. Next Thursday at this time, we'll speak with State Representative Harry Arora. WGCH News Center time is 7:59. Let's get to traffic and weather together.
Just about 8 o'clock, and the travel times are unchanged on